eerder dat er geen Nederlanders op de stadion of de podium was. En dus hij was blij dat hij dat kon zijn. En dus ik ga dan in het Nederlands praten, hoewel ik geen Nederlands ben. Gewoon omdat heb je ook de taal gehoord. I just said that somebody had said earlier there was no Dutch people on the stage. I'm not actually Dutch, but since I speak Dutch, I thought maybe I'd say something just so it was said as well. Yeah. Okay, my name's Dan O'Donnell, and I'm an Anglo-Saxonist, actually, at the University of Lethbridge, and an English professor, and a digital humanist. And so I'm coming at this from a very, very different world, certainly than Vim is. And also, I'm working then with humanities journals. And I think there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind when we're talking about humanities journals in terms of the use case for open access. And one of my experiences, and I think it's my belief, is that open access in the humanities is not really about reader access, it's more about author access. If you look at the open access journals that have arisen, they tend to be new journals in new fields by people who want to get around scholarly societies, perhaps, or more traditional venues. And so the journals themselves tend to be fairly cheap. Nobody's holding anything back for patent reasons or copyright reasons or anything. So we tend to be talking about enabling authors and editors rather than enabling readers to get access they didn't have. What we're doing, and these are often because these are scholars with no money, we're often then working in a field where there's no money and it's amateurs are running things. What we do, this is from the University of Lethbridge Journal Incubator, and we have a different take on where the value resides in the publishing process. And so I've tried to draw this out based on the slides we saw earlier from Cameron. And basically that top slice is Cameron's slide. I think I have my arrows going the wrong way. But at any rate, where you have authors and funders and readers and third parties, and the funders and the humanities pay in. Readers get a benefit from that. Readers, the institutions they belong to, pay off in the authors because they're the same people. The funders pay the authors. And that's how non-APC funded open access works. In the humanities, APC funding generally doesn't work because nobody has money, and if they do, they're not allowed to spend it on that. But what we've been doing is we realize there's an awful lot of value that actually adheres in the publication process itself. That is to say, through highly qualified personnel training, through an increase in institutional capacity, you're training both graduate students and scholars in how to work with the new digital technology, something they may not have and you may not have money to do otherwise. And it's of real world value to undergraduates and graduate students. They get hired away from you if you train them in cloud-based digital publishing. And so our idea was to try and monetize that. So at the bottom, what you have of this block is how we actually fund the Journal Incubator, which is, as I tell my dean, how you sell this to people changes depending on who they are. But as I sell it to the dean, I say, basically, what we are is a training shop for your students that's byproduct is journals. So the money comes in fact, from the universities. I sell training in tech, in real-world skills to graduate students. I sell training to faculty members, and I also reduce the administrative workload for the faculty members. And the university is pleased to pay us for that because that improves their situation. The libraries are equally keen because, and departments, because everybody recognizes this is a world in which they need to move into. And so they're happy to have the opportunity to work on this and for us to give them something to work on. And then the benefit comes out not only to the editors and students, but also, and I didn't draw the arrow because it was a little bit hard, we also get support from the authors that comes out of this. We transfer the funds from these people through to the authors by giving copy editing and services that, in fact, with a lot of traditional humanities journals, you don't normally get. So that's our sort of business concept. How does it actually work? This is a sort of an outline of how it works. Basically, what we do is we bring in graduate students and we make them the managing editor of a journal normally in their field, although that turned out not to be as important as we thought it was. And the idea is that... Oh, everybody's doing that, eh? Push it again. Oh, okay. Oh, is it over? Oh. Oh, well. I'll just tell you. I'll do a dance. Oh, there it is. Great. So basically, our idea is that the actual submissions are highly specialized and the outputs are highly specialized, but this process is actually quite standard. but it's also this process that graduate students particularly need help on, and the editors need help on. The capacity building takes place here. So we train the graduate students on the low specialization, things that you can relatively standardize, and the skills that are most transferable. And then the final advantage of this, just to finish off, is that when the students come out the other end, the reason why we have 8 years worth of funding from the graduate school is this is well-known experience with the publication process, at any rate, is well-known, for example, to improve the graduate experience, to improve time to degree completion, and to improve post-graduation success. And so we're able to basically say, oh yeah, and we also produce journals out of that, and the university is perfectly happy to pay for it. So that's how we work anyway.
Sorry about that.